This is Fresh Air. We're going to listen back to an excerpt of the interview I recorded with comedian David Brenner. He died Saturday at the age of 78. Brenner became a star in the 1970s with the help of The Tonight Show. He made his first appearance with Johnny Carson in 1971 and returned to the show over 150 more times. Here's one of those appearances.
I gotta watch my weight now. For the first time in my life, yes, I gave up smoking cigarettes. And you gain, you can't believe the appetite. Oh, and you try to be cool in a restaurant. You sit there, I'll have a little cup of soup and a side of salad and a side of beef. But I'll never stop people from smoking because I hate it when anyone told me not to smoke. Except once, one time. This is great. This is the best line I think anyone ever hit me with. I was in a drugstore in New York and I bought cigarettes. I bought a pack of cigarettes and then I thought, I'll look around. You know how drugstores look around. So I lit up a cigarette. I'm walking around seeing what else I could buy, you know what I need. And a druggist told me to say, he says, put out the cigarette. You're not allowed to smoke in here. I said, hey, if you're not allowed to smoke in here, why do you sell cigarettes? He said, if you bought X-Lax, would you poop on my floor?
David Brenner on The Tonight Show, where he was a popular substitute host as well as guest. He had his own short-lived late-night show in the mid-1980s. Brenner grew up in Philadelphia, where Fresh Air is produced. We spoke in 1990.
Your father had been a comic. I think this might have been before you were born.
Yeah, it was way before I was born.
He was a vaudeville comic.
Comedian and a song and dance man, yeah.
Well, so what kind of material did he do?
If you were to take, my father had a premise, and his premise was, I like to catch the guy. See, like, I like to catch the guy who says get married. I tell him blah, 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 blah. I like to catch the guy who paints houses. I like to catch the guy who fixed my car. I like to catch the guy who made my car and all that kind of stuff. And I didn't take that handle, but one day I realized that if you were to take my material and put in front of my humor, I like to catch the guy, it's applicable to about 90% of my humor. In a sense, I'm not a clone, but I was a student of my father. I loved my father. He was the funniest guy in the world and a great friend of mine. And I emulated him without realizing, even though he said, forget show business is bad, but being around someone so funny all the time, I just naturally picked up his ways.
How did your father bill himself?
He billed himself as Lou Murphy, and then he had a partner named Buster, and they were known as Brenner and Buster, and their handle was Listen to the Two Bees Buzz.
He billed himself as Murphy?
Yeah, because there was a lot of prejudice against Jewish people.
So he took an Irish
name? Yeah, so they all, and he looked Irish. And in those days, all the Jewish actors, and all the way through, like Kirk Douglas, and everybody changed their name. All the Jewish people changed their name in order to be in the business. And my father did the same thing. Plus, my father's family was a prominent rabbinical family in Philadelphia. The Brenners were very prominent. My grandfather, Nathan Brenner, was a top rabbi, and Jay Gerson Brenner, my uncle, my father's brother, was a very prominent rabbi. And he didn't want the name of Brenner being used in show business, which is actually the reason why he left show business. He came back to Philadelphia. He had a contract to do movies in Hollywood. And he came back to see his family before doing the movies, and his father said, you know, you can't work on Shabbat on Friday night. You just can't. It's against the tradition of our people. And my father ripped up that Hollywood contract and never went back on the stage again. And he did live his whole life regretting that he couldn't do what he really was meant to do, and that was be an entertainer.
Huh. So what did he do when he got out of entertainment?
He did a lot of odd jobs. He was worked for the Philadelphia Record, which was a newspaper here, and he was in charge of the landscaping for Fairmount Park, and he was the manager of the Fairmount Park trolleys when they had him here. He was an insurance man, and then the main thing was he was a bookie. He was a numbers writer. That's the main. That was the mainstay of his income.
Did he have to do that on the Sabbath?
Yeah, he didn't take bets on Shabbat. Friday night, you couldn't make a bet with Lou Brenner. But any other time, Saturday night, well, there were no numbers. I mean, Friday was over. There were no numbers on the weekend. See, so he didn't take bets on Friday night. He started taking bets again Sunday for the week. And he had a great talent. He could memorize all the bets without writing them down, so he could never get arrested. He had one shortcoming, though. He was a compulsive gambler with a toe. So when he would win, hit the numbers, he would play it back with some other book or his own book. He'd make bets. And he was a real Damon Runyon character. He was a wonderful, wonderful character.
So your father was a bookie. Now, you play Atlantic City and Vegas all the time, where you have all these compulsive gamblers coming to be entertained after they've either won or lost a lot of dough. Are there things you have to keep in mind when you're playing a room in Vegas or Atlantic City where you know a lot of the people have been gambling all day?
You have to keep it in mind because it's very difficult to make someone laugh who just lost a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
The big gamblers, it's easy to make them laugh. I always feel sorry for the small guy who lost the rent and all that. Well, he shouldn't be gambling. We all know that. But my father would sometimes lose the rent. I know what it's like to not have money because your father gambled it away. Gambling, like anything, is you take it in moderation. I have an addictive personality, too. And so what I do is I play poker for very little money. I stay up all night, and it gives me a chance to, one, get the gambling part of my personality exhibited and out. And the other, it gives me a chance to talk to regular people, because after the first few hands, it's no longer playing poker with David Brenner. I'm now an adversary. I'm just another poker player. And we can talk, and then I can be with everyday people, which I really enjoy better than being with celebrities.
When you started doing comedy in, what, 68 or 69?
69. Like, I started June of 69.
There weren't as many comics. It was before the comedy boom, before all the comedy clubs. And everybody had a niche, you know, like Robert Klein was the baby boom comic.
Yeah, the 50s, yeah. Steinberg was then. They were came before me, right? Steinberg, Richie Pryor, Cosby.
Yeah, Richard Pryor was like
they were the wave
young,
before
hip,
mine.
Black comic.
Yeah, right.
So where did you see yourself fitting in?
I didn't at all. I was really different. And I did what they call, now they tag it, it's observational comedy. And that is to look at anything and find humor in it. The most mundane. A friend of mine, Richard Lewis, said you have monopolized the obvious. You have a monopoly on the obvious, he said. And I thought that was a good way of describing my comedy. And I just got up there and did what I did on the street corner here at 60th and Osage Street. I just got up in front of Moe's candy store with my friends. I just got up and whatever happened. You know, car would go by, I'd make fun of car, person, boom, something would have, someone would say something, someone would say something dumb, and let's run, you know, come on, let's run. And I said, you're still walking. I don't get it. You know, let's run. And they don't run. You know how people always say that? Come on, let's run. Let's run over there. And they walk, you know. And all that all came from the street corner. That all came from West Philadelphia and South Philadelphia before that. So I didn't think of any. I just thought I'd just do what I think is funny. And then they tagged it, observational comedy.
Does it still feel great to get laughs, having gotten them for so long?
My father, when I was a little boy, even though he discouraged me from show business, he said to me, he said, Kingy, there is no greater feeling in the whole world than standing on a stage and hearing 1,000 people laugh at you. He said, if you make one person a day have a good belly laugh, then your life has been really worthwhile on this earth.
David Brenner recorded in 1990. He died Saturday. He was 78.